looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everyone to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good. I'm bringing you exceptional authors who express their experiences through writing. We are happy to bring you all the goodies from these authors that can help you with your holistic happiness. And today we venture into a realm that I'm trying to think. If in over the last 2 years, have I gone into the dreamscape? I don't believe I have. So this is actually a rather... We're not just lucky because we're talking about dreams and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about the dreams that we're trying to, you know, accomplish things like the big dream. We are talking about that. Well, we'll find out. Is it the subconscious mind? What are dreams? Because we have a dream worker with us. And she's not just a dream worker. She leads workshops. She interprets dreams. She analyzes them. But she's also become an author at the age of 73. Not, she could have become one at 72. We'll have to check in. And it's a memoir, and it's a really cool thing that she's written. It's more than one book. It's a series, and it's Dreams Along the Way. And you can also visit her website there, dreamsalongtheway.com. Now, this book is, like I said, it's in a series. It's called I, The Woman Planted the Tree, A Journey Through Dreams to the Feminine. Like, there's so much wrapped up in this. We're talking dreams. We're talking the feminine aspects. We are talking about memoirs and like histories and everything. So I do want to welcome, first of all, welcome Pearl Gregor to the show. I'm so delighted to have you here.
Very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, I do. I love. Oh, go ahead.
Ready to go.
Oh, no, there I am, Pearl. There you go. What you were saying, you love something. What was it you loved?
I absolutely love working with dreams. It's entirely new to me for the last 30 years. It was something I knew absolutely nothing about until I was 43 years old. So that's 30 years ago. So I'm happy to answer whatever questions you have, if I can, of course.
Well, you know, there are so many, but I think the number one question I know that just anybody could ask, like anybody, is they'll wake up in the morning and they'll think, oh my gosh, that was the most bizarre, that was weird. Why did I dream that? Like, that's what you hear a lot. And then that's when they go and they Google and they look up the meaning of this when I dream it and it means this. Is this the kind of dreams that you're dealing with and talking about?
Well, first of all, the thing I say to folks who come to talk with me or work with me in a workshop, throw away the dream dictionary.
Yes. Okay.
Why is that? Because we live in a world that wants instant answers. So let me tell you a little bit of my story, because it starts with nightmares. It doesn't start with dreams. My nightmares went on from age 9 to 43. That's a very long time for nightmares.
Yeah.
And then one day I got a box of books in the mail for a whole variety of circumstances, because at that point I was desperate. I really could have cared less. I wanted something. The box of books had a book in it that said I could ask for a dream. And I did. And I got a very, very deep dream. And I hadn't a clue, and thank goodness I didn't go to a dream dictionary. I wrote that dream down, because that's what the book said. It said, write down your dream. Now, all these years later, I actually understand, I think, what that dream meant. At the time, I went out and bought a computer, because my energy just went through the roof, because it was the first dream, because asking for a dream had worked. I was beside myself. So I don't know what a dream dictionary would have told me. I worked with it myself, because I was done with psychologists and psychiatrists and prescriptions and all those kinds of things.
Oh, you know what, Pearl? That's actually something right there. You just thrown in a big thing there. Prescriptions. You just mentioned that you were taking prescriptions because you actually had you're clinically depressed and you had a lot of personal turmoil. We don't need to talk about that, go into it, but just to share with the listeners, if anybody's going to connect with you here, when you say personal turmoil, this was just confusion? Was this a life thing? Was this what kind of?
Well, it had gone on since I was very young. I had no idea the cause of it.
Okay.
Absolutely none.
Okay. Wow.
So those dreams worked over many, many years. I began to write. Actually, this is a very fortuitous time for this call because on March 30th, 1990, I remember these dates like yesterday. Oh. I was driving. I'm a very serious consultant. I was driving to do a workshop when a voice broke through saying, write dreams along the way.
Oh.
And it repeated itself. And I finally stopped my car on the highway and got out and walked around, shook my head.
Huh.
Said, like, what? What? Got back in the car and the voice said, write dreams along the way. So I did. So for me, dreams are very, very serious and they're very excellent. Just write them down. And you'll say, well, I forgot them, or they're too weird, or they're embarrassing, or,
yeah.
You know. But really, the dream comes to tell you something you don't know. If you already knew it, it wouldn't bother.
Ah.
Why would it come to tell you something you already know? Now, there are different dreams. Artists have dreams, and they paint amazing canvases, you know, from their dreams.
Right. You just brought something up. Most of us don't remember a lot. We wake up and we think, oh, it's so vivid for about a split second. And then it's gone.
Exactly.
Why?
Yeah, you have the most magical tool. Everybody's got a cell phone these days.
Uh-huh.
Push record. Push record. And put three words into it, and even at 2 in the morning. And in the morning when you wake up and you give your head a shake and you go, oh, I remember I had this dream. And all you remember is one little bit. Write it down.
Right.
And keep track of it for all the many, many years and see, you'll begin to see a pattern of what's going on. You'll begin to see a field of what's going on. And I'm not talking field of dreams either. I'm talking, you know, I mean, movies are wonderful. And they do come out, even movies. You watch the films, and they will be filled with archetypal patterns.
Right.
We know so little about our dream world. In North America, the ancients knew. The ancients did know. They followed, and they understood. And Aboriginal cultures worked with dreams for many years, and they still do sometimes, some of them.
So there's this wisdom, like a hidden. Well, is it our job to decode it? Like, should we?
Well, I it's funny because my website uses the word interpretation, and that's about to be changed to translation.
Oh, I just wrote that word down. That's funny. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah, because in translation, we are learning, let's just say for a moment, do you speak another language besides English?
Yes, I do. French, yes.
You speak French. Well, now, can you do a direct translation from English to French?
Yeah, no, not usually. Like, not
direct.
Mm-hmm.
No,
right.
You cannot. You cannot do a direct dream translation from the images in the dream to words either.
Oh, that's so good.
It's
so
like
true.
A French, or let's say you're trying to learn. What language do you want to learn?
Ooh, well, I'm on my way to Italian, so, well, yes.
You're on your way to Italian. Oh, perfect. Okay, so now, how many years do you think it'll take you to perfect the language of Italian?
I don't know that I ever would, my goodness. A life.
Well, that's how long you might take, because dreams are the language of the soul.
Oh.
And they come in symbolic languages. They come in old archetypal myths. I mean, I had dreams of Eleusinian Mysteries, for example. Do you know what the Eleusinian Mysteries are?
No, I don't, and that's what I want to ask you about.
But I have that one. So you go researching in books. I mean, yeah. I developed a huge library of just amazing books, and pretty soon I began to see James Michener writes with all kinds of symbols in his work. There's amazing work out there that's available to anyone with a library card and a journal and one really good friend who's willing to listen and talk about and not close and come up with an answer.
Right. Yeah, that's actually very valuable that you mentioned that, because it is about who we share that dream with, because everybody will come with their either judgments or their interpretation and what that means
yes.
to them. Yeah. So how do you do that then as a dream worker?
Well, let me just talk about the first 7 years, because I when I began writing, it was 2015. I had completed a master's my dissertation called The Apple and the Talking Snake, funnily enough. And if you can get the double entendre there, it's kind of interesting. It's a mythological take on the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And Adam and Eve. In any case, I began to write quite seriously in the winter of 2015. And then is when I really, really got much deeper into really understanding that first dream. And I had written down probably over 500 dreams by then.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So someone just recently told me, how did you do all this research process? Well, first of all, I was, I think, called obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're clinically depressed for as many years, and I know some of your listeners have had these kinds of really deep experiences. I know they have, because I'm not the only person in North America.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, there are people everywhere. I'm meeting with a gentleman and his partner on Friday because he spent 10 years in depression. He's saying, this is so amazing. I've never had anyone actually write down what happened. So I wrote those dreams and I prayed and I meditated and I cried a lot and I meditated and I wrote some more. And that's why I say it's not an instant thing. But when I finally did wake up, that I had to begin to look at look at the very first sentence, like, where are you in that dream?
Oh.
What? And I don't mean physically, where are you? I mean, the first line of the dream, my very first dream was, I am on the seventh floor in my office in the Harley Court building in Jasper Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta.
That's a very
exact
elevator.
Location. Now think of what elevators do. Elevators take you up and elevators take you down.
Right.
And I fell in that elevator and I fell and I fell. And around me were a lot of unknown women. And they were all screaming in panic.
Oh.
And I was saying to them on the outside of me, it's okay, don't worry, we're fine. And on the inside, I'm praying, Jesus, make it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been praying for a long time, a long, long time. And I land. That elevator eventually lands. Now, that's the second very important part of the dream. It lands. And it lands safely in feather pillows or lamb's wool. I can't quite, in the dream, I just wrote it down. You know, so I wrote it the way it what happened.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of symbols in that dream. But the beginning part, I'm just beginning to learn this. The beginning is very, very important. It puts me in the field that I'm in. And the ending is very, very important. I land in the field of the mothers, or the field of the earth, or the field of nature. It's a deep, deep, deep descent. I will go on a journey for the next 7 years. Are your listeners familiar with the myth of Inanna?
Well, some of them may be, but I know, because from prior to our conversation, that you had shared, not a heck of a lot of people do.
No, and that's because it's fairly new in our culture. Some of the first books that came to me was called The Descent to the Goddess, and it's written by Sylvia Pereira. And she talks about that descent. Funny thing is, I read that book in 1988. Didn't pick it up again until 2015. And went,
oh, wow, 20 years.
Yes.
Oof. You see, so somebody said to me, well, they would love to have an instant healing, because after that dream, a lot of very incredible things happened. But by February 7th, I had an experience where that depression was completely healed. And I mean completely unconscious. People talk about dreams as if they're in their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They're
yeah.
in their deep, they're coming. Not all of them. Many of them come from our personal unconscious. But these deep, deep, deep ones come from the collective unconscious in the world of Carl Jung.
Yes.
You ever read Carl Jung?
Yes. And, you know, because now we're going to get into some really interesting, fun stuff. And I've got about 30 yeah. seconds before commercial. But when we do come back, what I'd love, because you just touched on it, we have the collective conscious that we're talking about in Dreamland and that field. And we also, I would love to ask specifically about all timelines and quote-unquote dimensions. When we are dreaming, where are mm-hmm. we? And are we dreaming of other past lives, like the timing? So I know we have to sneak away to commercial, but when we come back, let's just ask about that and if you can heal throughout those timelines and dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, I'm so glad that you guys could all join us today, because we are here with Pearl Greger, and she is the author of, well, a series, Dreams Along the Way, but I, the Woman Planted the Tree, A Journey Through Dreams to the Feminine. And we are going to be talking a little bit about that feminine, because I've got questions, Pearl, but... you know, what I'm really here, I love this. I'm actually have a new view on translating dreams, that it's a way of healing. I don't know that I've thought about that until you, so thank you. Huge question I'm going to jump into just before, because I thought about this, is do we have to be sleeping to dream, or can it be like a meditation vision, or are those two different things?
You don't have to be sleeping. Carl Jung writes a lot about active imagination as a technique for working with your dreams, and I don't even like that word technique, because it sounds so machine-like. Dreams are very, very, very organic.
Okay.
And yes. Active imagination is a powerful tool that you use. I mean, I had many, many, I don't know exactly, in my book I call them promptings. Yeah. I mean, I heard voices. Now, I had heard voices of psychiatric care people. I was under medication to stop the voices because they were not making me very, how should I say? Let's just say you don't go around telling people you hear voices.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can tell you stories about that too. But you had asked about, you know, do you dream? So the prompting, or do you dream in the daylight, so to speak?
Yeah.
The promptings I received were very much during meditation. And they told me, they finally got to the bottom of what had actually happened to me. And so it's very, 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 very deep underneath our, it's way beneath our personal con. We do not remember. Because if we remembered, we'd heal it in a second.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, if I'd have known, for example, what had happened to me as a pre-verbal child, if I had remembered, my parents didn't know, my family didn't know. So how did I finally discover that? I discovered it through meditation. Through something people call channeling, which what I call prompting.
Oh, I like that word.
So I just think there's so many, when you use the word dimensions, This kind of work crosses all cultural boundaries, crosses all economic barriers. I mean, a good library, a journal from the dollar store, a pen, you know, and a good friend. I keep saying that.
I love that. Yeah. When you say crosses all barriers, I think that's actually good that you brought that up, because you're right. Our minds are not identifying whether what culture we're a part of or how much money is in our bank account.
No, it's not.
But you have to find a difference between the feminine. Is it aspects or feminine as in woman? Because it is.
It's feminine as in energy.
Ah, okay.
That's why it appeals very strongly. Many of us in our culture, we're very rational, or we think we're rational. The rational is actually doing us a lot of harm. We believe we can think our way through everything. We can.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Because if a person who's in clinical depression could think his way out of it or her way out of it, why would we have any problems?
Ah. You have great questions. You have great questions, and I'm in it. I love that. We can't think our way out of everything. You've brought up depression a few times.
Carl Jung said you cannot access the unconscious through consciousness.
Right. You cannot. That is so true.
It's unconscious. If it wasn't unconscious, we'd know it.
Right. Right. So you have to go in the back door, and that's through.
You have to get underneath. You have to go. Yeah. I mean, meditation is an amazing tool in the dream world. So, yes. Now, I'm not a big fan of lucid dreaming. I think that's another one of our rational attempts to control the way things happen. I know some people are, so I would never debate that. It's a personal choice for me. I tend to think that people do what they have to do.
Yes.
You know, me, I'm a reader. I'm what I could call deeply spiritual. I love the work of, for example, Yoram Kaufman, that I just found recently when I was at a dream conference, or the person running the conference recommended this book. This spiritual dimension is absolutely everywhere. We you know, it's available, but it's
there's an interpretation of you. It's almost like you have to kind of learn, like when you go to another country and you have your language and they're trying to connect. Yes.
Yes, it is. You've nailed it. It is like being in another country. But you know that if you start to converse with people, I mean, I was September, I was in Germany. I went on pilgrimage with Hildegard of Bingen. Now, Hildegard of Bingen is barely heard of in our culture. She died in, 1179, I do believe. She lived from 1098 to 1179. She wrote amazing books around healing with gems. Mm-hmm. She identified 800 possible healing herbs and earth plants and trees, that kind of thing. That's how long ago again did I just say?
1179. My gosh, yeah, 1,000 years. Well, you know.
Yeah.
for the better part.
Yeah, 1,000 years. And we think we're discovering something new. Right. Now, that woman, do you think she was researching it in scientific journals? No, the scribes were writing out what she told them. Where did she get that from?
Right. And so there's a way she's accessing it that perhaps, is it possible that we, right now, in 2,000 years?
We can access that. I'm not going to say you're going to do that tonight.
But,
I'm not going to say you're not either, because my first dream actually was accessing the collective unconscious.
Yeah, that is so
That
neat.
Landing was in the collective unconscious, in the deep, deep feminine. And that is the myth of Inanna. I did not know it, thank God.
Right. Ask to dream? The dream that you asked for, could I please dream of going and joining the collective conscious tonight? Like, what was the question?
I don't know if you could do that, to be quite honest. I don't think I necessarily would. I think I might let my unconscious guide the process, because
yes.
There's this thing about how unconscious. Do you have any clue about the little we do actually know about our psyche?
It's so very little. I know. They have a number.
Now, yeah. Numbers don't mean much, but they can. Some authors talk about 1%. Others talk about 10%. I kind of hesitate to put a number on it,
right.
But let's just say darn little.
Yes. Yeah. But yes. So minute.
I mean.
Could you, just because we have brought up the, depression and somebody's connecting there, is depression a state of, in your words, when you're thinking about the depression and how it, you are completely healed of depression now and
healed.
Yeah. So is depression in a subconscious part of our mind?
It's very, very deep. We're repressing, okay. Depressing, putting
yes.
down things that have happened to us. Somebody, and I think you used the word, how old can it be? It can be very, 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 very old.
Mm.
Some of it can be actually ancestral.
Yes, that's the one. Okay, so how does that work?
Well, okay, let me give you an example. Ancestral, my grandmother. I was 11 months old on my grandmother's knee. My mother went upstairs. Now, you have to know where I was born and what decade we're in here. This is 1946. We are a homestead family. And I don't know if your readers know what or listeners know what a homestead family is, but I'm in northern Alberta. On my parents were farm folk. My dad was an amazing musician. But we lived in the North Peace Country of Alberta. They homesteaded up there in the 20s. So I'm born, it's 1945. 1946, my grandmother, I'm on her lap. She's rocking me in a chair. My mother goes upstairs, comes back down. Grandma has taken a stroke, and I am on her lap.
Oh.
Now, I, of course, as an 11-month-old, people say, well, you don't remember that. No, I don't, but my subconscious and unconscious do.
Yes.
That yes. energy, people talk about energy. Well, where do they think it went? What do they think was happening in my body? Well, do you think I got scared?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think, absolutely I did.
Yeah.
Now, I can trace the energy patterns there, having just learned a little tiny bit about patterning. I learned this through dream work. I began to look at the month of April, because April became such a hellish month for me. My body ached so bad. That's April. In 1946, my mother in 2001 died of a stroke. In April of 2014, I had a series of mini strokes.
Oh my goodness.
Would you like to talk about patterning?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
You see what I mean? This is not something you do in 10 minutes. It's like translation. You learn to speak another language. Let's say you decided you were going to speak Japanese. Not Italian, not French, which are closely related languages, but Japanese.
Right.
How long do you think that might take you?
Yeah, that would, oh, I can't imagine.
So you can learn to say hello the first day.
Yes, yes.
And the next day you can learn to say, how are you? And the day after that, you can, that's how you work with dreams.
Oh, that's a good explanation.
Now, you might get some huge breakthroughs.
Okay.
You will get some huge breakthroughs. And you will wake up in the morning and just be going, yes! Oh, this is amazing. My energy is through the roof. I cannot believe how good I feel today. You will have made a breakthrough. And the next day you'll be back down in the dumps going, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah. I was going to say, I love that you actually even, you just embodied that energy, because when we do have that quote unquote, the piece of the puzzle shows up and we're like, ah, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a surge of,
we are this body, mind, spirit. Your shows talk about it all the time. We are body, mind, spirit.
Yeah, there's
body,
no resistance.
Mind, soul.
Yeah. Okay, here's a good question about that, because we, you know, a lot of questions. I worked as, you know, as a nutritionist for years, and the number one thing people come to me is, was not just, you know, weight loss. It was actually, I want more energy.
Right.
And so then we look at, okay, well, then, I mean, when you're depressed, you can imagine lethargy and all that stuff.
Oh.
When we work with dreams and we, I don't want to say come to, we interpret them. Is our regular everyday life just more energetic? Is there just more?
I would say that I went from, well, I've always been this, people will tell you, a bit of a goal and energy bunny. But there were days when I was in depression. I mean, I do have 3 children, 7 grandchildren. We operated a farm. I have a career. I was a full-time teacher for many, many years. So, yes, you need a lot of energy. But there were days I barely got myself, and some days didn't get myself out of bed because of depression. That doesn't happen anymore. But food is a very important part of it. You dream, how should I say? When I mean, it's part of keeping your body healthy, but it's much deeper than that. The cells have memory. Your cells have a memory.
Yeah.
So the trauma is stored in your cells. You can eat well all your life. It won't relieve your anxiety.
Oh,
it will not get rid of your depression. You'll feel better. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It won't heal it.
Right. Because the energetic pattern, that whole...
The energetic pattern will not be healed by eating more vegetables.
Right. Oh,
you'll feel better. You will. You'll get, you know, you'll get out of bed a little easier in the morning, but your depression will be still there. I mean, to tell you the total truth, when that energy healing happened for me, I had never had a normal menstrual cycle in my life until after that.
Oh, wow. So your entire
We're
system.
Talking deep healing here. And that was the combination of meditation and dream work and writing. Writing is very, very, very critical. Write your story, heal your world.
Oh, I love that. Did you just make that up now, or do you use that? Write your story.
No, I probably said it differently. I don't tend to ever repeat the same.
Right.
I probably couldn't repeat this interview. No, if you told me.
You know, this is so, I'm so excited that you actually brought that up about your cycle, your menstrual cycle, because how feminine can you get? I mean, that's the
reproductive cycle. How feminine
cycle,
can
right?
you get? Exactly. And think about the Eleusinian mysteries, or the ancient women's mysteries.
Yes. So, okay, this I find fascinating, because I am very much one person, like I'm affected by, you know, all the emotions and this and that, and thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, I'm going to ask you about the chicken and the egg here then. Is it our cycles that are affecting our hormones and moods, or our energetic patterns affecting our moods that affect our cycles?
Okay, one of the things we need to learn really quickly in our culture is nothing is either or.
Oh, I love that.
Think about it.
Yes.
We talk all the time about allness. We talk about we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we try to separate in what is it this or is it that? It's both.
Right. Oh, that's actually beautiful. I like that. And you're right.
There's many, many philosophers said that long before I did.
Yes. When
it's
people always say,
and.
you know, you get those questions, they'll say, would you rather this or like, if you had to pick one? I'm like, I don't want to pick one.
You know? Exactly. I want to pick both.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. I understand questions with choice. For example, when you do Myers-Briggs.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. know, it's a forced choice. Would you rather? It's a preference. It's not
preference.
Only this or only that. It's I would prefer to stay at home and read my book rather than go to the movies. I would prefer
right.
that. I go to the movies. Doesn't mean I never go to the movies. Just means I would prefer to stay home and read my book today.
Yes. I like that. So, all the choices we make are because of preferences, not...
Yeah. And yeah. there's a word that just pushes every button I have, that word choice.
Oh.
Oh. Listen to... You think about that word choice and consciousness.
Right.
And rational thinking. Well, you made poor choices. Have we ever considered that the 90% of us that is unconscious, that is hidden from our rational mind, or not hidden, but is deeply, deeply, deeply embedded in us, is making a choice and we don't really know we're actually making as a, it's not a choice.
Right.
We don't know about it. I did not choose to be depressed.
Right. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a confession. Oh, my goodness, Pearl. I actually reposted something about choices specifically just before this interview. Oh, gosh.
Now you're going to rethink the whole word.
I know. I'm actually, you know, it's funny. I actually debated, but so we're going to sneak away to commercials. But when we come back, there's just so much more to share and talk about and dive into with dreams and the feminine when we're back.
Best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Light on Living.
You've got your host here, Lisa Berry, with Pearl Greger, and she is the author of Dreams, well, it's a series, but Dreams Along the Way series, and she began with I, the Woman, Planted the Tree. And the next two books in the series are going to be published sometime in 2019. She's working on them right now. Pearl, wait till we listen, heard that little fun cat commercial. Do animals dream?
Well, you know, I probably am not the right person to ask, but I would say yes.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of, I have no expertise in that area.
Because you've got a bunch of cows there, actually, I was just thinking.
Well, I have a bunch of cows, and some days I think they could be dreaming. Certainly they chew their cud and do a lot of rumination. And that is actually the etymology of the word read, just in case you wanted to know. Cows have four stomachs. They put this food through four processes. They just don't go, oh, I know that.
Right.
Ruminate. They're ruminants.
That is so interesting. I love that. You know, everybody knows that cats are my favorite, but cows actually are the ultimate. I love cows.
And you know something? Now, this is fascinating. Uh-huh. I started to have, and I was in New York studying psychosynthesis for 2 weeks in 1990 when I was at the height of trying to heal the aftermath of depression, because the body, and you've seen the commercial, depression hurts.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk to you for about a month on how the body, which has repressed something for 43 years, what it feels like. In any case, so then you start, that's how we got into the cow goddess, for example. All these horns and cattle and furry things started showing up in dreams, and pigs of all things.
You see,
we know so little. We really don't know much about the world of dreams, the world of the inner world, the feminine. And I'm not talking gender. When I use the word feminine, please do not think I am talking women. I'm not.
Right. Yes.
I'm talking energy.
When you do your workshops, because this is what you do, you one-on-one, but you also hold workshops. I would find that myself, thinking about it, like, oh my gosh, how tricky would that be to get a whole bunch of people in with all their dreams and all their sorting out things?
Well, I don't take too many people, Lisa.
Okay.
I have a maximum. I do this right in my own home, in my beautiful, beautiful sunroom, on my beautiful, beautiful farm. And so I do a maximum of 7 or 8 people.
Okay.
Because people need time to process. We look at some dreams. We also look at some theory. We look at some artwork. Artwork is an amazing expression of dreams. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean being an artist. I just mean drawing your dream.
Oh.
And looking at the images. And we do something called four directions when we look at our dreams. I actually have a dream sanctuary that I run where you can come, you with a girlfriend can come and visit me in the summertime. And stay for a week, and I will give you 2 hours a day of dream work, and the rest of the time you can read, write, meditate, walk, talk to the cows, play with the dog, leave the garden.
Oh, it sounds like a dream.
you can be right in the Garden of Eden right there, because it's perfection right in that garden of mine.
Oh, that's actually okay. So let's just highlight that. Is that something that you book out? Like, can people go to your website?
I actually have had, yes, if you look on my website, you will see something called Dream Sanctuary. And that is an extended period of time, because some people are looking for an immersion experience away from the city of New York or away from the city of Toronto or Vancouver. And they've been working on things, and they're just trying to put it all together. Mm-hmm. Now, I also need a proviso that says, I am not a therapist.
Yes.
I have a PhD. I've studied dreams on my own for 30 years, and I'm a teacher.
Yes. And sometimes that's much more, that can be helpful that you are not.
Well, I have an experience. I try a deep experience. I try not to put my experience on somebody else.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, so it's a coach. It really is like a dream worker and dream coach.
Well, it is very much, and that's why I'm changing. I'm going to have my webmaster change the title. It's going to say translation.
Yeah, that's just...
I do not want people to think I can analyze or I can tell, oh, your dream means X, Y, Z. I can't. I can ask a million questions.
Yeah, and that's how
and
we
I can guide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a guide. I love that. And actually, just I can only imagine, you know, when you are surrounded by nature, and we often talk about this almost, it always comes up in every show that when we're looking for answers, healing, to feel better, we do need that connection with the earth, with the feminine, with that. What is it about the feminine energy? Why are we so blocked off from it that we have to actually work to get
back? Back about 8,000 years. Just close your eyes and imagine you're living 8,000. Just go 3,000.
Okay.
Can you imagine 3,000 years ago? Now, you're in, pick a place. Where are you?
I suddenly went to Jerusalem, but that was just, I don't even
know
why.
Well, sure. So you're in Jerusalem. How big is it? 72 people?
Yeah.
That's very small. Now the patriarchy or the male god of Zeus is in control of things. And he's getting more and more and more control because the triple goddess has been kind of sidelined. Mm. You see, so there's a lot of cultural history around this, a lot of cultural history, right, which is why my dissertation is The Apple and the Talking Snake. There's a whole story there. And that we were kind of, how do I put this kindly? Women were excluded or blamed for the downfall of mankind. Well, actually, we didn't do that. But the mythology got shifted, as mythologies do. Mm-hmm. And it got created as evil.
Yes.
And so women became, so the feminine and the earth, we were told by this force or whatever, that the earth was to yield itself to us. That's the feminine. That is the generativity. That is the creativity. That is what you cannot live without the earth.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah. Well, you cannot.
So the whole notion of looking after the earth, people of the earth, pagan actually etymologically means people of the earth.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So, you know, going to the earth, I don't mean you're going to go live on back to the land. That's not what I'm talking about. But respecting the earth and looking after and not polluting and all those kinds of things. But the feminine is generative. The feminine is creative.
Mm-hmm.
I say to my grandsons, have you ever seen a bull have a calf?
Yeah, great.
You just don't. It comes from the feminine energy. Now, that doesn't mean the masculine doesn't need the feminine and the feminine doesn't need the masculine.
Right.
Nothing is born without a combination of the two.
Right. Here's a funny one. Do dreams hold the energy of a feminine or masculine?
Do they hold it? Well, for sure they bring you that feminine energy. I uncovered a deeply wounded feminine soul and had to regrow my soul, if you read Thomas Moore.
Mm. Okay.
You know, Thomas Moore, he talks about, now I can think of the title of his books, several books written by Thomas Moore. The Poetics of the Body is one chapter that's coming to mind. The whole concept, pardon me, of the tree. Think about the symbolism of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That is a deeply feminine symbol. That's why I planted the tree. It comes from a line from Inanna and her poet Enheduanna,
okay,
who captured the poetry and told us about Inanna. Now, was Inanna a real person? Of course not. It's a myth.
Right.
To explain the world. Explain the, myth is never happened and is always happening.
There's your end, your everything, either or nothing.
You betcha. It's always never ending and always happening. Or never, you didn't know it was there, but it's always happening.
Yes. That is.
You can't separate anything from anything. You just can't.
In such a world of allness, which you're sharing in that, if somebody were to kind of wrap their head around, and if one is trying, this is going to be weird language for me, but I'm going to throw this out there. If somebody's suffering and they want to get away from it, they want it to end. But does suffering end in the healing if it's always, I'm getting wordy here.
yeah.
It could live on subconsciously.
Well, it can live on. Suffering is like, what is it exactly? What are we trying to talk about in suffering?
Right.
I mean, if you're a billionaire and you lose a million or a billion of your dollars, is that suffering? It may well be.
Right.
To that particular person.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
If you're a homeless person and you lose your sleeping bag, is it suffering?
Right.
You see, like, it's what is
where you are.
Suffering. I mean, in our culture, I don't know. It's hard to say what is suffering to various people. I suffered from depression.
Right.
I still suffer from, life didn't become perfection.
Right.
Although I repeated a million times, perfect, I am perfect, I am perfect, mm-hmm. because we are created perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just live in a world that says we're not that good.
Yes. Oh, yes. And that's why we need that feminine energy to come in and remind us that we are.
And we need the masculine created as well, because I didn't write a book only with my, I had to sit at my desk for hours and hours and hours. My masculine put that book to form.
Yes. Yes, I love that you just honored both of that right there. And that's most perfect. Yeah. And as this is about interviewing authors, you are so correct. There's the balance right there, the creativity of the feminine.
And somebody told me the other day, Lisa, that it isn't even a balance. It's called harmony.
Yes.
Sometimes it's more feminine. Sometimes it's more masculine. Coming to harmony, it's a musical dance.
Yes. You know what? That was so beautifully said. And I did hear that just recently, too. And I loved it. It is not about balance. It is about harmony. And
because harmony.
Is this what? Oh, I love that. This show just goes right on by fast. I just need to. I need to. I want to invite everybody to connect with you, because I'm so happy that I get to do some dream work sessions with you coming up. And I want to share that with everybody, because, you know, there's so many things, you know, we choose to do in life because our preference, and and sorting out some of my own dreams. I do believe there's healing there for me. And so if the listeners are getting that right now, and they think, I do believe that by sorting out and translating this dream, I could have some peace. How can they connect with you?
I mean, a little bit at a time, folks, because it's a full energy. It's a full energy of the spirit were to come into your body. You'd burn your circuits. I hate to break it to you.
You're right. Yes, you're right.
You'd just be frazzled, electrocuted, as it were.
Yes, overcharged. And so in doing that, this is why your sessions are actually about 2 hours, and you can do this remotely, like anywhere in the world.
Well, I can tell you that I prefer, because I need to see people's body language.
Okay, yeah.
They have a body. Mm-hmm. They're not disembodied.
Right. So and over Skype
women,
or video.
Living in our bodies is a huge challenge.
Yes.
Especially women who've experienced any kind of violent trauma as a young person, living in our bodies is a challenge. So and it takes a lot of work to learn, a lot of yoga. I did a lot of yoga.
Well, I just would love for anybody who's just resonating to reach out to you, first of all, and then you could guide them along the way, which way it is, but preferably over video, Skype, call, something
right.
Visual.
I mean, I have Zoom. You have to make an appointment, obviously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can go to my website and make an appointment, or don't make the appointment, but request an appointment so I can give you a time you can come to a time.
Right.
I have a dream workshop at my farm, which is, of course, is Northern Alberta or Central Alberta, where are you again exactly, Lisa?
Well, I myself am in Toronto, but the listeners are all across U.S., North America.
Of course,
across,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a lot of listeners.
Yes, and because we're going to have to, we'll get cut off here,
yeah.
I want to let everybody know that this is Pearl Gregor, G-R-E-G-O-R, and it's Dreams with an S, dreamsalongtheway.com, and you go to the site because it's actually rather beautiful, and reach out to Pearl, and really, you could just learn just from going there. So please, I want to thank you, Pearl, for joining us on the Super Fast
You're
Hour.
You're so welcome. I could talk dreams for pretty much hours.
Yes. Oh, I hope that a lot of people come to the farm to see you and mm-hmm. learn their dreams. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Please reach out to Pearl on Facebook as well. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everyone. Bye, Pearl.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.